Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery channel.
Well, hello, hello, hello. It's Garbled Twistery time to talk about James Monroe Monroe Monroe, more popularly known as Man Ray. Yeah, you heard me. We're checking in on our final presidential potential for 1820. And oh, he just happens to be the reigning champion from last time. And well, since there was a last time, we will be rebroadcasting the history with all the new info at the 33 minute and 31 second mark. So yeah, let's have a little review and check-in, shall we? We're gonna start at the very beginning. A very good place to start. When you read, you begin with ABC. When you sing, you begin with James Monroe.
James Monroe.
Where was I? Anyways, he lived in Virginia with his moms and his pops, and his freaking house is still there, because you know how Americans get with their antique houses. His dad's actual name was literally an Italian-American mafia nickname, Spence. Yeah, they call me Spence, because it's been so long since I ate a fettuccine. His mom's name was Elizabeth, just like literally every other Yankee mom name at the time. I'm serious, how many freaking Elizabeths are there? It's insane! But anyways, they had five little mouths to feed. Two of them were named after themselves, because there's literally no time for creativity when you have to plant crops. There was our guy, James, and some other guy named Andrew, and Joe Star. But enough about them. How did James Man Ray even get to Hamburger Land? Get this. His great great-granddaddy was bumming around in Scotland, but then got tired of watching Mel Gibson rub blue paint all over his face, so he came to the U.S. only for Mel Gibson to win an award for rubbing blue paint all over his face, much to great-granddaddy Man Ray's dismay. Speaking of dismay, apparently Scotland has a bunch of shinobi, cause great-granddaddy Patrick was a ninja of the Monroe clan. I'm serious, James Man Ray's probably got some secret ancient ninjutsus, you feel me? You feel me? Oh, and his grandpa on his mom's side lived with a bunch of whales. Yeah, that got pretty boring. So he ended up in Virginia where he could build tree houses for fun. Man Ray's also related to a bunch of French human knots, because, I mean, why not, right? But anyways, enough of this Ancestry.com nonsense. Where did Man Ray go to school? Well, he went to literally the only school in the whole Rootin-Tootin County, and he would only show up for like 11 weeks at a time because the cows need feeding. But I mean, he still figured out how to get himself his very own BFFL. Yup, Johnny Marshall D. Teach, and Man Ray would need that friend. He would need that friend because his mom died when he was a freaking teenager, and his dad died when he was learner's permit age. So yeah, school went out the window because he inherited everything and had to take care of all these snot-nosed little kids. His uncle Jojo on his mom's side stepped in as a substitute dad, so there's that. And Jojo was straight up a member of the Royal House of Burger King, so he was always bringing Man Ray to the meetings as his plus one. And you know what college he threw Man Ray into? William and Mary's College. I know, right? How come William and Mary get to have all the future politicians, huh? Uncle Jojo had this kid networking with the likes of Tommy Pickles, Patrick or Henry or whatever his name is. Even Jorge himself got a good look at Man Ray. But enough name dropping, it's getting to the point where nobody can freaking tolerate these meddling tea sippers anymore. And Man Ray wasn't the kind of guy to sit around. So yeah, when that angry mob crowded on Governor Dunsparce's front lawn in Virginia, Man Ray was right there, you betcha. So Man Ray is doing his thing in college, but then he's all like, quote, "Why am I sitting here in a classroom when I could be holding a gun?" Unquote. So he pulls a Zuckerberg and goes to Virginia with a gun, and this captain named Free Willy comes up to him and is all like, "Well, look at what the dragon dragged in. Can you read?" And obviously Man Ray knew an ABC or two, so boom, he became a freaking lieutenant right then and there. And guess whose shinobi striker squad they put him in? Yup, freaking Jorge Washington's. So all that tomfoolery nonsense that was happening in New York and New Jersey, Man Ray was there for that. That time Jorge had to run away like a sissy. Man Ray was there for that. That time they threw a surprise party for the Hessians. Man Ray was there for that. He almost died that time, but he was there for that. But one thing I've learned over the years is that the easiest way to get yourself a participation trophy in the Army is to almost die. I'm serious. Jorge straight up gave Man Ray a promotion to captain because he almost died, and apparently that's super brave or whatever. There's even a whole painting about it. But anyways, he drank a super elixir or whatever and went back to Virginia to make his own Boy Scout troop. Well, he tried to anyways, but he realized he didn't have make your own Boy Scout troop money, so he got his uncle to help and send him off to go shoot people again. And he got reassigned to be in General Stir Fry Squad. Yeah, remember him? And he got all buddy-buddy with some French dude named Laughs-a-Lot. And it was this French fry that reminded him to look at the bigger picture. We're fighting tyranny, fool! So Man Ray ended up in Philly, which means, yes, he did show up at Busted Ratchet Valley Forge in Log Hut. In a log hut! And he fought in the man's mouth and was like, quote, "Hey, they have guns too. I already almost died. I think I'm gonna stop now." So he stopped shooting people and hung out with his uncle in Philly. But then, the T-Sipper started bum-rushing Georgia, and Virginia was stepping up to help out. So of course Man Ray's gonna step up to the freaking plate and help out. And of course, they let him go after he quit. Cause freaking Jorge liked him, Stir Fry liked him, even Alexander Ham and Tammy liked him. So yeah, he was supposed to lead his own troops into the field, but everybody was staying inside trying to watch the season finale of Beyblade Battle Blitz, so nobody wanted to run around shooting guns with Man Ray. I know, how anticlimactic, right? No, I don't mean the ending of Beyblade Battle Blitz, that was amazing. So anyways, Jessica Jones tells him to just put the guns away. So he puts the guns away, again, and goes to Virginia to become a You've got to be joking. You've got to be joking! Every time, man. Every time. And Tommy Pickles is the one teaching him how to do lawyer stuff, too. Jeez Louise. So now that the T-Sippers are trying to shoot the Southerners instead, Virginia was all like, yeah, we're moving the capital to where the guns aren't. And Tommy J and Man Ray moved along with them. And because Tommy Pickles was literally running Virginia at the time, he was all like, yo, Man Ray, buddy, you're a colonel now. And Man Ray did a bang-up job, too. He even set up the official Revolutionary War State Militia Group Me. That said, everybody still wanted to stay at home watching Beyblade, so Man Ray didn't get a ticket to that mosh pit in Yorktown. And he really, really wanted to go, too. So, yeah. He stuck with the lawyer thing. I mean, he didn't even really like doing lawyer stuff, but you know what Man Ray does like? Money and power. Hey, at least he's upfront about it. So yeah, he did the limbo, passed the bar, and set up a little lawyer shack in Frederickstown, Virginia. But enough about that. What about his love life? Well, he married some lady named Liz. But everybody's named Liz, so let me give you her full name. It's Elizabeth Courtney Love, and she's a New Yorker. Yeah, her dad had a lot of money from insider trading, and they met at Continental Con. I know, cute. So they went to freaking Long Island for their honeymoon after they got married in 86 and moved back into New York to live with Daddy Courtney Love, who's just rolling in it anyways. But then Congress adjourned, so they had nothing to do, so they bought a big fat estate in Virginia and popped out three kids. Yep, there's Eliza Man Ray. She went to school in Paris. There's James, who didn't live to be old enough to even say his own name. And there's Maria, who married her cousin, because why not, am I right? So yeah, it's getting to be about that time. What about the slaves? Well, Man Ray did have a nice little plantation that he inherited, but he sold it. Oh, not because of the slaves thing. He just needed the money to print posters for politics. And he eventually ended up buying his own giant dream plantation with slaves all over it. The full MTV Cribs treatment. But the freaking plantation was so big that it was freaking broke all the time, and Man Ray was never around to keep it running, and they were basically breaking even. So all the slaves are getting whipped extra, extra hard, and Man Ray just kept getting into debt, so they had to keep selling his land and his slaves, and slave families were being separated left and right within Man Ray's very own plantations. And then this lazy, overspending idiot has the nerve to get all persnickety when his slave named Daniel runs off to other plantations to visit his friends and family. What an unnecessary mess, I tell you. Anyways, let's move on to a topic that's a little more palatable for the dinner table. Politics. So Man Ray got himself a seat at the Virginia Delegate House, and he was part of some important council. They then threw him into the big old confetti Congress, and he did that for like 3 years, but then stopped because, well, that's just how it worked in the confetti Congress. But while he was there, he was an adventure nut. No, really. Quote, "Let's go out there. Let's go get 'em. We're going to Wisconsin. We're going to meet a moose and eat a cheese. Oh, yeah, baby." Unquote. Yeah, Man Ray is one of the reasons Wisconsin exists. But all this time, Tommy Pickles was hanging out with the guy. So this is when Man Ray met Tommy's other bro, Billy Madison. But anyways, when Man Ray, like, left Congress, he decided to push the old lawyer wagon, and he became a hotshot attorney for a year. Then he landed himself in the Virginia Delegate House again. However, he couldn't make it into Constitution Con because he's a lawyer, remember? They're busy all the time. But when it came time to seal the constitutional deal for Virginia, our boy was there. And it was a whole lot harder to ratify in Virginia because it wasn't the usual majority rule situation. No siree. There were a whole lot of wafflers in Virginia, okay? I mean, yeah, Billy Madison tag-teamed with Jorge in support, but the other side was Patrick or Henry or whatever his name is, and there were a whole lot of people in the middle, okay? Man Ray in particular was still a Federalist, don't get him wrong, but he was worried because he wanted to see his rights on paper, you feel me? And I mean, Billy Madison was like, yeah, you got a point, bro. And the Constitution barely got ratified in Virginia, and Man Ray still voted against it even then, even after there was a Bill of Rights. So after this whole ordeal, Patrick or Henry, whatever his name is, calls up Man Ray and is all like, quote, "You think the Constitution is booty? I think the Constitution is booty. Billy Madison thinks he can be a House of Rep. I want you to take that away from him." Unquote. No, really. Patrick or Henry or whatever his name is, straight up freaking got a Sharpie and Sharpied in a congressional district just so Man Ray can pull off this scheme. I know, right? So sketchy. But yeah, Man Ray was literally riding the same freaking bus on the campaign trail with Billy Madison. And you know what? There wasn't any drama. Yeah, they were still buddies after that. I mean, Man Ray didn't accomplish his mission at the end of the day, but they were still buddies. So Jorge becomes Prezi-Wezi. A polar vortex happens, and everybody's got to choose a side nowadays. Jefferson or Hamilton? Pokemon Red or Pokemon Blue? Man Ray chose Tommy Pickles, of course. He was practically raised by the guy. He was a straight-up foot soldier for the Democrat Republicans in the Senate. He was even one of the masterminds behind trying to get Jorge Clinton to win Prezi-Wezi against Johnny A. back in 92. I mean, it didn't work, but still. As we know, France is going freaking crazy, and it's driving everybody in Congress freaking crazy. And of course, Man Ray was siding with Tommy, who sided with the Revolution! No surprise there. Remember how Jorge appointed Johnny Jacob to keep England from getting all cranky? Well, he did the same thing with our boy Man Ray, but for France, for the same freaking reason. So, Man Ray shows up in Baguette Land, and he's out here looking like a rock star, and everybody at the national convention's like,
speech, 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 speech.
So of course, he had to oblige, and he starts talking about this republicanism stuff, and he milked that cow so hard, standing ovation, encore, encore. Man Ray showed up and was already on a roll, okay? Trade relations, more like doing the dishes, easy peasy. The guy who had common sense and laughs a lot's wife were prisoners. He got him out, doing dishes. What's next on the spring cleaning diplomatic relations list? Oh, the Jay Treaty? Oh, the Jay Treaty. Yeah, that freaking screwed everything up on Monroe's side of the whole diplomatic relations mind game. Nobody even told him it was going down. But still, Man Ray put in that diplomatic work and still somehow got France to be all like, sure, y'all can use the Mississippi River. Here, have the keys. He was even involved in Pickaninny's Treaty, which got everybody all excited about New Orleans. Ooh. But despite all this hard work trying to keep France happy, Jorge Washington's opinion of Mr. Man Ray? Quote, I don't like the guy. He's always working some angle or whatever, and he's just constantly disrupting what I'm trying to do here. You know what? You know what? He doesn't deserve Paris. Send him back. Unquote. So yeah, Man Ray went home. And then he went home doing lawyer stuff, doing farmer stuff, and at the same time, you know. I mean, Tommy Pickles and Billy Madison told him that he's destined for bigger things outside Virginia. But you know, Man Ray just didn't want to take another leap. Not now. Not now. He just got fired. Come on, relax. Keep the politics at the state level. You feel me? He wrote a book about his crazy shenanigans in Paris, but like, it was basically a George Washington, why did you fire me, you idiot, book, without ever really saying that explicitly, but still, that's what it was. And of course he was still salty about that Jay Treaty and thought everybody was drinking too much tea. I mean, you know, all the Democrat Republicans felt that way, but Jorge did read the book, and I have his response right here. Quote, Man Ray, he was a total freaking wuss. France had him around their finger, their pinky finger. Yeah, if you ask me, he was having a little too much fun over there, okay? Unquote. But enough about that. Let's go back to his senator days, shall we? Why are we going back? Well, you see, while Man Ray was doing senator stuff, he was pretending to be Sherlock Holmes and was looking into corruption and scams and stuff that had to do with war veterans. And who was at the bottom of all this stuff, you ask? Freaking Alexander Hammy Tammy. Of course. Hammy Tammy freaking teamed up with Ryan Reynolds and they were spending government money. You can't do that. And Man Ray was this close to ratting Hammy Tammy out to Jorge Washington. But then Hammy Tammy was all like, quote, No, dude, you have it all wrong. I was blackmailed. Ryan Reynolds caught me eating Olive Garden lasagna with his wife, and now he's making me do stuff. Unquote. All the charges were dropped. Man Ray was all like, your secret's safe with me, buddy. But clearly it wasn't if it's on a freaking podcast, but whatever. But then they brought it up with Ryan Reynolds' wife, Maria, and she was like, quote, I would never eat lasagna with that trifling walrus. He's lying, bro. Unquote. Man Ray took note of this and sent the whole story to a friend, probably Tommy Pickles. But somewhere along the way, a secretary was like, listen, I'm getting that TMZ money. So 5 years after the whole ordeal, right after Man Ray gets fired, TMZ comes out with this calendar report, and Hammy Tammy thought, wait, this loser's gonna come after me like this 'cause he's got fired. Nuh-uh, I'm not having it. So they had a meeting, and Man Ray really tried to explain, but Hammy Tammy wasn't having it. Quote,
"You, me, outside, 3 o'clock, on the jungle gym, bring your Yu-Gi-Oh cards," unquote.
And Man Ray was like, "You know what? I fought in the war. I'll take my chances, bro." But then Man Ray was like, maybe I should explain the whole thing in writing. So he tried that, and by the end of the email thread, they were talking about Yu-Gi-Oh cards again. Oh, and get this. Get this. The person who stepped in and was like, hey guys, get it together. You're acting like schoolboys. That person was freaking Aaron Burr. I mean, come on, of all people. Geez Louise, what a story. And we're not even at 1808 yet. Yeah, Man Ray did more stuff. Like in 1799, Virginia made him freaking governor. But Virginia's freaking weird, because they didn't let the governor do a whole lot of governing except when it comes to guns. I mean, basically all he could do was show up to the Virginia Congress people and be like, yo, you should try this thing. He also helped get the first Virginia prison running, because he was getting sick and tired of people being beheaded for forgetting to tie their shoes. I mean, he clearly wasn't tired of slavery, but some slave named Gabriel had some huge plans for Virginia. Huge plans. But Man Ray was quick to stop all that and forget the whole we need to make a prison to stop harsh sentences nonsense. He had all of them hanged. All of Gabriel and his slave revolting friends hanged. Yeah, Haiti had these slave owners scared. But anyways, the Knot War happened with France. And Man Ray was like, of course this would happen with the Federalists running the ship. And of course, he was Team Tommy when Prezzy Wezzy time came around. The Federalists straight up called him a traitor for that, but who cares what they think, right? He even planted Electoral College voters from Virginia for Tommy Pickles. He was even thinking about sending the militia out to the polls to do some good old-fashioned voter suppression. But he felt like that was a little much. Tommy Pickles still won, and you know what that means. Bring in the bros. Billy Madison, bam, Secretary of State. Man Ray, bam, straight back to France to help out with some big fat purchase. Oh, and he was also told to get all buddy-buddy with England in case the Baguettes said no and the U.S. had to take over New Orleans by force. But when they met with Francois Barbie, none of their plans would matter because France was just like, take the whole thing. We don't want it. These Haitians are eating too much spinach. I mean, sure, he was being super disobedient because he wasn't supposed to pay more than $9 million and the deal was for $15 million, but come on, it was a steal! Interestingly enough, the Baguettes didn't say whether they still owned West Florida or not, so the Yankees thought they bought that too, even though Spain was there. But whatever, Tommy knew Man Ray freaking disobeyed. But he didn't care. Tommy watches QVC. He knows a hot deal when he sees one. Was it constitutional? We're still working on that one. But come on, there's so much land. Man Ray did go to Spain to try and nab West Florida too, but Spain talked to France and France was like, don't be an idiot. So yeah, Spain kept its claws on Florida. Okay, so as we know, when Tommy J became Prezzy Wezzy, Rufus the Naked Mole Rat got straight up fired from his ambassador to Britain duties because his Federalist hiney wasn't going to cut it. Well, guess who took his job? Yup, Man Ray! So what did Man Ray get thrown on his plate? Well, the T-Sippers were straight up kidnapping sailors and forcing them to become British soldiers. So yeah, apparently it was Man Ray's job to get the T-Sippers to, like, stop doing that. I mean, that sounds pretty impossible in my opinion, especially because President Tommy Pickles over here is being ridiculously passive aggressive at the British Prime Minister whenever he freaking can. I mean, Tommy J did offer Man Ray a job governing that huge chunk of new Louisiana land. But honestly, that probably sounded even more stressful to Man Ray, so he kept his job as a tea-sipping ambassador. But he's really good at this diplomat stuff, because he was able to get his own freaking treaty going that would continue the Jay Treaty. I mean, of course the Jay Treaty was a Federalist treaty, but come on, he's the ambassador to Britain now. The treaty was making the merchants money and keeping everything with the tea sippers all peaceful and stuff. Even Tommy's homeboy could see that. But apparently, Man Ray literally got the signatures on his extension to the treaty and everything. But Tommy J didn't even send it to Congress to make it official. Yeah, Tommy J decided to be a petty idiot about this whole situation. Man Ray was so freaking mad about this. I mean, come on, come on! Not making stuff like this happen at the last second is how freaking wars happen, okay? But then he comes back to Virginia. And everybody's crowd surfing him and yelling at him to run for president. And it was in that moment that Man Ray put two and two together. Tommy Pickles didn't let the treaty fall through because he was being stubborn. No, the reason was even more stupid. Tommy J didn't let the treaty happen because it would make Man Ray look too cool. And he was trying to rig this election so that Billy Madison would win. Isn't that freaking, like, disgusting? I hate politics. I love to hate politics. But Man Ray was like, hey, I owe Tommy J literally everything. So if he wants me out of the way, I won't actively campaign for the Iron Throne. That said, Man Ray wasn't going to sit there and actively stop people from going out and actively campaigning on his behalf. And people freaking did. No, really. The Democrat-Republican Party is starting to fall victim to the passive-aggressive curse that is politics. You see, there were these Democrat-Republican people who called themselves the Squids, and they were getting sick of Tommy Pickles over here throwing away all of those good old-fashioned Republicanism values. So yeah, they were planning on putting Man Ray in the race to the Iron Throne and getting those New England Federalists on board too, enemy of my enemy style. Yeah, and some guy named Roanoke Johnny was coordinating everything. That said, by the time the 1808 cactus grew in the desert, the squid people were still outvoted, so the status was still the quo. So yeah, sorry Man Ray, maybe next time. I mean, Man Ray wasn't out in the middle of the street talking trash about Prezi Tommy Pickles or his little pet, Billy Madison, but he didn't have any supporting words either, you feel me? I mean, Twiddledee and Twiddledum were more focused on trash-talking Charlie Piccaninny anyways. By the time the election came around, Billy Madison simply mopped the floor with everybody except the Federalist clam chowder people. I mean, our boy Man Ray did get a couple thousand Virginia votes, but that wasn't nearly enough to make a dent. But yeah, in terms of Man Ray's relationship with Tommy Pickles, there weren't any hard feelings after all the 1808 election shenanigans, but their friendship did kinda awkwardly fall off the wagon, cause when Man Ray was trying to get himself a Congress seat in the Big Boy Congress in 1809, Tommy Pickles wasn't being the hype man for Man Ray, and that woulda helped, you know. When it comes to the relationship with Billy Madison, Man Ray didn't even speak to him until like 2 years after the 1808 election. I mean, what can I say? Elections bring out the grudges and the pettiness between the bestest of friends. Yeah, Man Ray just kind of went home and did a lot of Zen gardening farm stuff because he needed to find himself. Okay, so after retreating to his Zen garden for a hot sec, Man Ray got into his local fast food enterprise by joining the prestigious Virginia House of Burger Kings. He even got elected governor, but that only lasted 4 months. Why only 4 months? Because President Billy Madison straight up hired our guy Man Ray to be the secretary of all the states. You see, Billy Madison was being a sly dog here, because he knew that if he hired Man Ray, he could have some of the more crazier, more squid-like Democrat-Republicans showing up at the dinner parties. But he was also being, like, genuine, because he missed his friends, and he wanted Man Ray to know that all that treaty drama from before...
What under the bridge?
So yeah, they became best buds again, and Man Ray started doing all sorts of secretary things. You know, like talking to the tea sippers of the baguettes to try and stop them from stealing stuff and kidnapping soldiers all the time. Man Ray was only half successful at that. Like, the Baguettes were like, sure, we'll try to stop, but the T-Sippers were all like, quote, why would we stop doing that? We made you, okay, unquote. And knowing how much Man Ray hates passive-aggressive nonsense from anybody, it's no surprise that he ended up joining Mr. Plato's side of the whole do we need to dump the tea in the river again debate. And as we know full well by now, Big Boy Congress decided to put this wild new war on the books. Okay, so this 1812 stuff got crazy hard, crazy fast, as challenging the tea sippers tends to get these days, and Billy Madison was all like, hey fellas, how about some early peace treaties, but England wasn't having it. Okay, but the thing is though, Man Ray was out here pulling Prez Billy Madison's leg real hard because for some stupid reason, Billy Madison was out here trying to win a war with the tea sippers without even sending the Navy out of the ports. I mean, the US actually started winning a bit after Man Ray gave the novel advice of letting war boats swim. Go figure! Anyways. The Secretary of War, Billy Eustace, decided to freaking resign. I know, right? What impeccable timing. So Billy Madison really wanted Man Ray to do both of the jobs, but yeah, right, like the Senate's gonna let that fly. Man Ray did end up being both until they quickly got Johnny Strongarms to be the war guy. Oh, and these two fellas did not get along, no siree. They just kept arguing about how to do war and stuff. It got so petty that Johnny Strongarms straight up prevented Man Ray from leading an army on the Canada front. Come on, man, you're on the same side. Man Ray was looking forward to that. But whatever. The war was dragging on, everybody decided to gather in the city of Gout to discuss a peace treaty, and the US sent one of the Quincy's from Bleach to lead their end of the negotiations. Man Ray kinda let Quincy do what he wanted as long as he made sure Yankee Land was back to neutral terms by the end of negotiations.
Clean slate.
Anyways, Johnny Strongarms ended up getting straight up fired from the war secretary job. Why? Cause somehow those tea sippers managed to literally set the White House on fire under his watch.
What?
Mm-hmm. Mary straight up resigned from being the Secretary of the States, but nobody stepped up to replace either of those spots, so Man Ray, once again, ended up doing double duty. And because he was doing double duty, Man Ray ended up being the guy who called up Nancy Drew Jackson on speed dial and got him to go to New Orleans, an action that very much caused a butterfly effect series of reactions. Man Ray also tried to, like, get 100,000 soldiers and give them more money, and he wanted to like build a new bank to handle all the war money. In all honesty, I think Man Ray is doing too much. The war literally ended a couple months after he became the war secretary, and he's out here telling everybody what to do. SMH. But yeah, everybody in the US was okay with the war ending because Nancy Drew literally won a battle right before the Gout Treaty was signed. That said, treaties don't fix passive-aggressive brouhaha. Like, there's still gonna be a lot of drama with them tea sippers after the Gout Treaty. But at least the tea sippers stopped kidnapping people because their war with Neapolitan ice cream ripping bones apart was also petering down. Interestingly for Man Ray, Big Boy Congress did end up making a national bank at the end of all the ordeals, just like Man Ray asked them to. Okay, so now, what is Man Ray thinking? What's going through his mind? Well, Man Ray thinks that after being the war secretary for 3 seconds, he ought to be president now. And a whole lot of Democrat Republicans are thinking the same thing. But this was like far from unanimous. There were a whole lot of superstars who wanted the Iron Throne this time around, okay? That said, Man Ray ended up cinching the victory in a very landslidey kind of way. Like, only a couple New England states spat on his turkey dinner, as those Federalists tend to do. So now that Papa Man Ray is president, what is the man's plans for the people? Well, First of all, he didn't appoint people based on political party mumbo-jumbo, so everyone felt like they were on the same page. He also went on, like, two whole concert tours, and the public reception was all like,
"Birds flying high, you know how I feel."
He was doing such a good job that the Federalists were starting to look even more pathetical than they already did, with the exception of freaking Delaware, of course. Also, the Democrat Republicans didn't even need to have meetings anymore because literally who was going to stand up to them? Who was going to stand up to them? Delaware? But yeah, let's take a look at Man Ray's kitchen cabinet. It's looking like he organized everything based on location. You know, Billy Crawford stuck around to keep doing money stuff. Richie Sonic Rush got to be the lawyer general man. Benny Boy crowning the shield was still controlling the Navy. The Quincy got to be the state secretary. And everybody was looking at him like he might be presidenty one day. That was also strategic, because Man Ray wanted more Federalists to become breakfast defectors like the Quincy from Bleach. He also wanted to get Andrew Jackson to be the war man, but that palooka is too busy with all the freaking book tours, so it didn't happen, and Johnny Cowhide took the job. Oh, and when Richie became the tea-sipping ambassador, some guy named Billy the Squirt replaced him. But enough name dropping. What about the spicy drama? Well, there was this whole fiasco that got everybody all riled up when Missouri was trying to, like, become a state on the books or whatever. You see, things were going rather smoothly until James the Tall Man, a New Yorker, tried to sneak in a no new slaves allowed in Missouri rule combined with a free the new child slaves that are born when they turn 25 rule. Yeah. Everybody was getting into big fat fights about this, not even all that revolutionary as far as total freedom is concerned amendment for like 3 days straight. But it still got passed. So it's like that one astronaut said, one baby step for freedom, one baby step for freedom. But then it went to the Senate and nobody could agree that even freedom after 25 years of slavery was a good thing there. So it didn't even pass and nothing happened. It's just like that other astronaut said, one small argument about slave ownership, one gradual step towards a whole civil war about it. No, really. The North Face jackets were like, yo, stop. And the South Pole jackets were like, stop meddling with our profits and talking to our slaves like they're people. More on this later, though. What else was the Man Ray administration having to deal with? Well, Man Ray was thinking a whole lot about infrastructure. Like, he was trying to build roads and canals and all kinds of nonsense like that. But, like, you know how it is sometimes. People are lazy and stuff, and it takes a while. Like, basically, Man Ray knew that infrastructure was super important, but he also knew that the Constituti didn't say anything about the federal government footing the bill, you know? He was also nudge-nudge wink-winking Congress to do something about it, but they weren't lifting a finger, okay? Oh yeah, I bet you're totally wondering how Man Ray handled the literal economic crash bandicoot that happened in 1819. Like, Revolution Part 2 ended and the Neapolitan ice cream Bonaparte wars were ending too, so nobody was trading weapons and food anymore, and the economy literally just stopped happening at a wartime pace. Oh, and also throw some stupid land investing scams on top of that. I mean, Man Ray's hands were tied. Like, he couldn't just directly meddle in the economy, but he was super scared to raise taxes, though, because that always causes a heckin' grumble. So basically, people lost their jobs and went bankrupt, and President Man Ray just kind of did nothing significant about it. I bet you're wondering about Man Ray's big boy exploits, internationally speaking. Well, our guy's foreign affairs game plan was basically old school, gimme a land shenanigans, combined with new school, make sure our conquered land stays our conquered land, Final Fantasy tactics. Like, he was trying to keep trading with those T-sippers while also passive-aggressively shoving strain under the line. Oh, and slavery had a lot to do with this as well, because North Side and South Side gangs had very different ideas of what slavery was gonna look like on new lands. So Man Ray ended up just carefully trying to walk on everybody's eggshells whenever that came up. So yeah, Man Ray really didn't want to deal with another war with the freaking Tea Sippers, so he helped rush over a Bogoa Treaty, which
he
got the Tea Sippin' Navy to get out of Michigan. And then there was some other treaty that drew a line next to the Rock Mountain Dew area. I mean, basically, just trying to tie up loose ends here and there, Oregon country and whatnot. I mean, all these pieces of paper didn't fix every issue, but it helped trade, so whatever. As far as Spain was concerned, they were really freaking stressed out because they didn't want to put any money into Florida, but they would need more Florida troops because the natives who were there first didn't feel like sharing. And greedy old Man Ray, who wants Florida himself, sent over Nancy Drew Jackson to go rough up the natives, and Nancy Drew went overboard and everyone in Congress gasped. But Man Ray, he liked Nancy's spunk. So he basically straight up defended Nancy's shenanigans to the national and international gossip communities, while simultaneously trying to get Spain to cough up some of that sweet, succulent land. So yeah, Spain ended up selling Florida in a treaty and drawing a line in the sand at the Sabine River, moving it up in a zigzag pattern until you hit Oregon country. Needless to say, Man Ray has finessed the art of quietly shoving other powerful nations off of their own land using carefully placed pieces of paper. Speaking of Spain, what did Man Ray think of the 8 billion revolutions happening in Latin America right now? Oh, he's totally on the rebel side like a proper Democrat Republican would be. But he's probably not going to tell that to Spain until it's on the books that they're giving up their land. You hear me? You hear me? I mean, what can I say? Man Ray is a sneaky villain. What else? What else? Religion? Nobody knows what Man Ray was all about, to be honest. Like, there's literally nothing. Like, there weren't even priests calling him an infidel like they did with Tommy J, so we can't even confirm if the dude's an atheist or not. I mean, his fam was hashtag Church of England, and he ended up going to the Epicenter Church later on. But the only time he talked about God was when he was using it as slang or whatever, you know, God willing, I will bring the carriage to the ball. As for slaves, he had like dozens of them and took them to the White House when he became the boss man. I mean, they didn't have staffers back in his day, and you can't expect a president to sweep the floor like a basic responsible human being. There was also that one time where he was the governor of Virginia and like hundreds of slaves wanted to kidnap him and negotiate freedom terms, but a literal storm came and ruined the whole plan and the slaves got rounded up and they weren't classified as people, so you can forget about the court system, and like 30 of them were just straight up executed, and Man Ray tried to make it so some of them were just sold instead as if there was a significant difference. I mean, these folks were literally risking their lives in a kidnapping plot to gain freedom from slavery. I don't think you're, let's not execute them, but still sell them. Guilty conscience decisions mean you're really getting the hint, Man Ray, my friend. Speaking of slow learners, this 1820 election is coming up, and Man Ray has just been a busybody lately, hasn't he? I wonder if the reigning champion has what it takes to keep the streak going. I mean, judging from all these freaking land acquisitions, I'd say he has a good chance. Americans love land acquisitions. If you got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, karaoke fun time, you can find Garble Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbletwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbletwistery.net. Also, I have a Patreon, so if you go to Patreon and become a patron, you'll gain not only the access, but the ability to determine what topics get to be Patreon-exclusive bonus content. And the current bonus in production is an episode on COD games. You trade them, and it's fun. Anyways, next time, we've looked at all the candidates, and now it's time for a good old-fashioned Royal Rumble for the 1820 Iron Throne. Don't miss it!
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
Sweet, succulent land.